KN4VWA, mobile.
4VWA, KN4CHY, morning, Steve.
And is this Keith?
Psychotic or something, it is indeed.
Quite psychotic, but I am psychiatric.
Did you see the email I sent you yesterday?
Yes, I did. Okay, refresh my memory as to what it said.
About the tri-banding thing, I tried it last night and I kind of blew it off and went back. It had some issues, the CPS crashed once, so I was like, yeah, I'll dive into this later, over.
Now, you sent me something on the steel, too, but I think that was on text, wasn't it?
You sent it to, I forget the fellow's name, Johnny, I believe it was, to get a sketch and to have him send it back to us. That way, when he gets the sketch done, we'll look at it.
Ah, that's right. Okay. And see, when I think of you, I think of either the steel project or that tri-band. And I didn't remember for sure which one you were referring to, which way one went and the other one went. So you feel like that tri-band is a no-go?
So far from the initial trial last night, like I said, it had a few issues, so I reverted back until I dive into it deeper.
I didn't get time to look at it last night. I took my Diamond X50A omnidirectional down so that I could put up a 2-meter, 10-element Yagi. And I've got to get my Omni back up. And I was working on that a little bit yesterday evening, so kind of got sidetracked. I'm going to try to check one more source this afternoon over here in Greer. You know, on the recycled material, it's hit and miss.
I did get back up to Blue Ridge yesterday, and the only thing he had was like 14 gauge, which would not be deep enough. So he did give me a name of a place to check and bought some from him. And that they may have leftovers from a project, so I'll try to get in touch with them today and see about that. And he said Oconee Welding. I didn't realize Oconee Welding sells materials over here, too, so I could check with them also.
Sure. Yeah. You know, I'm trying to picture this thing in my head, and the 2-inch OD is going to go inside the existing receiver, right?
Sure, and the best I can think is it's going to have to be like 2.5-quarter wall to go on the outside. I really don't know that that would be required, though. I mean, I don't think you're going to be putting anything in the end of it once you get it in the receiver and it hanging out 4 foot.
I'm just kind of curious as to why you need the 2-inch OD to go over the end of the 4 foot. Can you not put your swivel platform directly onto the 2-inch OD?
What I was thinking too, and that's why I kind of asked Dave about the sketch, and he sent us that text to get more of an idea of what he's got in mind. I'm the meeting that night that he was looking at doing the 2-inch ID on the end to where we'd have the option of putting something else in it, but I can't imagine what else you'd have in it after you hang it out of the hitch, you know, 4 feet over.
The 2-inch OD is what has to go up into the existing receiver. And, well, anyhow, we need to get that sketch because I just can't you know, I'm just not picturing what they're doing. So, anyhow, we need to get that sketch and go from there, and we can acquire materials, you know, exactly what they need.
Yeah, and I was going to go ahead and get a 4-foot stick of the 2-inch outside, or 2-inch inside if they had it, but like I said, all he had was 14 gauge, so that wouldn't be heavy enough. Anyway, I got to get to work, so good hearing you this morning, and I'm sure we'll catch you sometime during the day. KN4VWA, KN4CHY, I'll be clear to listen after your final.
Good to hear from you, Keith. Hit me anytime. I appreciate it. KN4CHY, KN4VWA, 73. I'm clear and listening. And mobile.
Steve, W4VX.
Vernon, how we doing, big guy? That's, Kurt? No, not Kurt. Oh, shoot. Hey, I'm 66 now.
It's Chris. Chris. And, I know. I understand completely. I got a lot of new call signs and names coming at me here lately. Sounds like you guys got a project cooking.
Yeah, we do. And yeah, my Prevagen just hasn't kicked in this morning. Oh, man. Yeah, we're trying to fix up a winch base so that we can plug it into the rear of a truck so that we can use that to go up and down a tower.
That sounds interesting. So you're going to hook up a winch to a receiver and use that to power some sort of lift to go up and down a tower? Or are you talking about a crank-up tilt-over?
No. A lift to go up and down the tower.
Oh, that sounds interesting. That would be the best way to do it. Climbing's no fun.
Right, sir.
I got to the point, now this isn't a very big tower, this is like a 50-footer of Roan 25, but I just used my tractor and it's ROPS, it's rollover protection, to push it up with a hinged base with a beam on it, or two. And that worked out okay.
There you go. What size tractor did you tell me you had? A 30 horse? You got a full size farm tractor. Yeah, I got, well, it's not a mini, but it's an intermediate. I got a John Deere 3000 series that's 30 horse.
This just worked out with the features I wanted, and what I thought I was going to be running with the PTO and the amount of shaft horsepower, but I never ended up going down that route, so I got a little bit more tractor than I really needed, but you know, it's still small enough that it gets into pretty tight spaces, and so it's really like the largest of what they would call the compact tractors.
Kubota, John Deere, Mahindra.
Yes. It's a Korean company, and somehow they're associated with New Holland. There's two Korean tractor manufacturers. There's like a Kiati, I think is the name, and then LS. A buddy of mine bought the Kiati, and I bought the LS, and the control, the dash inside the cabs are almost exactly the same.
And I would almost bet that some of the parts are interchangeable, too. Yeah, well, yeah, that's how that goes sometimes. Well, so, yeah, that John Deere of mine is, you talked about tight spaces. You can swing 6-foot implements. I swing anything 5-foot. And on some stuff, I can swing a 6-foot, but I don't buy any 6-foot stuff because I just don't need it. Plus, I do get into tight spaces between trees, such as that with my little bush hog. Got a 5-foot county line bush hog that I use.
foot bush hog, and that's big enough. I thought I wanted more, and the more I talk to people, you know, and it comes down to tight spaces and maneuvering. And, you know, when you're bush hogging the side of the road, yeah, 15-foot bat wing is great because you're just going in a straight line, but not so much when you're maneuvering.
I tell you what, I saw one of those things the other day. It was one of those big 15-foot double bats. Man, I tell you what, that guy was, he was covering about 35 feet or 40 feet at a time with that monster. But then again, the wheels on that, I guarantee you that was probably an 80 or 100 horse tractor too.
It certainly, it more than likely was. I mean, I've seen plenty of them, and yeah, usually you're right, they're 80 to 100. You know, more than that would be overkill, and, you know, you'd start, I think they would start having maneuvering issues, but, yeah, they certainly swing a double bat wing of a bush hog with no problem.
The ground on that big an area, I'd be afraid that I'd miss something and hit it. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. 6 foot's plenty for me. And, you know, it really does. I've only got 15 acres, and roughly half of that is pasture. And so it doesn't take that long to do, you know, 7-8 acres of pasture with a 6 footer.
7 or 8 acres with a 6 foot, you're talking about 2.5, maybe 3 hours.
About 3, with maneuvering and opening gates and et cetera, moving animals around. But I, now that we've got the cows, I think I'll probably be doing less bush hogging. let them take care of it.
At pasture, cows are a lot better than goats. At least you get steaks out of it at the end.
Put a couple of them in the freezer and, you know, maybe sell a little on the side, that kind of thing.
Got 6 acres, and I could put, I think I could put two steers on about, 2.5-3 acres. And I think that would probably work for me, wouldn't it?
It depends what you're going to do for feeding them. You know, if, like, we have a real nice Kentucky fescue pasture, and we're making more. You know, that's why I've got the goats. They're out there clearing some of the underbrush and stuff, and they're going to make some more pasture for me. And, you know, we don't really have to feed them. The only thing we feed them are minerals and that kind of stuff. And so I should be able to do that for most of the year. And then in order to keep, you know, the pasture healthy, there's probably going to be 3 months, I'm figuring, where I'm going to have to go grab some round bales and roll it out for them.
Corn grain them before you take them on?
The only thing I think we're going to do when we finish them is go pure alfalfa hay for like a month. And folks tell me that produces a very high-quality meat.
It sure does. It gets the ribeyes a nice, nice marble to it. But I tell you what, you go ahead and mix a little bit of corn in with that, and man, oh man, oh man, I do that with my deer. I corn them, you know, once, twice a week, from now until hunting season. And I'm going to tell you something. The deer meat that I've taken off my property is just, oh, it's good.
KB2HXS Mobile.
HXS. W4VX. Name here is Chris. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, Chris. Good morning. Good morning. All right, guys. When's the barbecue? Steve?
The third Sunday of June-ember.
I'll be there.
I know you will, big boy. Chris, do you know Dave?
Morning, Dave.
morning, Chris. I live here in Gurr, whatever you want. I don't know how you whatever you want to pronounce it. I've been up here for almost 2 years in August. Moved up out of Florida. Originally, if you haven't guessed, the two call comes from Long Island many moons ago. And there you go. Over to you, Chris.
I'm a transplant myself, originally, a long time ago, from Michigan, then Virginia, and then South Carolina. So, really like it up here in the upstate.
Well, you know what? Anybody's welcome, just as long as they don't stand and say, well, that's not the way we did it back home.
Now, there you go. You have to start that kind of nonsense. Jeez. Come on, Steve. Now, my wife is actually from Michigan. She moved to Florida back in the early 70s, and I moved down to Florida in 2000. And we met up 14 years ago and been together ever since. So I think I'm doing pretty good now. Chris?
Good. My wife and I married in Michigan, so then we left, like 2 years later. But, yeah, I'm sure, well, this area is perfect. The weather and all that is to my liking, and the folks as well. It's a great place. The business I'm in, I came to the upstate quite frequently on business for many years and got to know the area a bit. And so then certain opportunities presented themselves, and I ended up down here a few years back.
So what do you do, Chris?
Yeah, I work for General Electric and kind of specialize in the alloys you use to make the hot section of the turbine and the components that have to be made out of those alloys. So it's called materials and process engineering. So we kind of set up the process for how, for at least from a metallurgical standpoint, all the things that need to get done happen and that kind of stuff, and do a little bit of failure analysis when things go boom, which fortunately is relatively infrequent. It involves some lab work, you know, working with microscopes for metallurgical analysis and SEMs and a lot of non-destructive testing. Penetrant and radiographic mostly work with that, or the people that work with that, that kind of stuff.
What's your base? A lot of titanium variants?
It's mostly nickel and cobalt-based super alloys, they call them, alloys that retain some properties at high temperatures.
Okay, so under heat stress, there's not a lot of expansion and contraction on those.
They resist, so the biggest things that shorten the life of parts that have, you know, 3,000 degree flames blasting across them are what they call thermomechanical fatigue, where you're loading and unloading the part just a little bit, and that has to do with its thermal expansion and what they call combustor pulses and stuff like that. The second is creep, where just under a load for long periods of time, the part starts to lengthen and eventually it'll crack. So it's all about managing those things. Mechanical design guys that deal with this stuff all the time, but what happens is you have combustors, which are big, you know, they generate flame from natural gas, and that gets sprayed in, you know, at fairly high pressure into a row of what they call nozzles or vanes, and so you'll have like 14 of those hypothetically, and behind those vanes is a rotor full of blades. And what happens in a turbine is as those blades start to spin, every time they pass a nozzle, they hit low pressure. And then when they're between nozzles, they hit high pressure. And so you get this pulsing effect that sets up vibrations and stuff that can, in long-term service, damage the parts.
That just sounds like it would be fun.
In the parts, and now I work for the company that uses the parts, so it's a good match, and I enjoy it very much.
GE did all their own parts casting.
I buy about $1 billion worth of investment castings, so it's to make these blades and vanes. So the castings come in, they need a bunch of machining and some other processing before they can be put in the turbine, but the actual castings are produced by vendors.
Okay. Well, Dave, what makes you want to go out and apply for a job at GE, don't it?
Oh, yeah. I want to explain what I do, but I'm going to try and get as technical as he did. I work with expanding gases that contract into oils to keep people cool and warm. Does that explain it okay?
HVAC?
Damn, he's good. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, I own a... I'm a small little company in town here. I do HVAC work. I do pretty much all ranges. I don't touch a lot of the commercial stuff. I don't do refrigeration because it's just I don't want to. You know, my choice. But I've been in HVAC for coming into 17 years. I drove a truck for a long time for a moving company, and then I came off the road and back in 2005 and jumped into air conditioning. So good business in Florida. Up here, I'm on the heating side now, learning the gas side.
Creature Comfort Exempliaire.
Don't want to be down here without it.
Oh, heck no.
UE Mobile.
Morning, Chad. Go ahead and take it. KB2HXS.
Good morning, gentlemen. We're just enjoying the conversation. I'm a machinist, I guess. Kind of taught myself over the years. I got a full machine shop, and I'll just do, whatever comes in through the shop. So, just want to throw my comment in there. And good morning to you too, Steve.
Hey, Chad. Are you on the right repeater? I mean, you use that word gentleman. I don't understand. Go ahead, Steve.
I just KO4NUE. It's okay to be professional.
Okay, Lurch, go ahead.
I used to do work out at GE plant, and I supplied some of the materials back in the day when they actually used X-ray film, before it all went digital there, Chris. And let me tell you something. Their level of accuracy and machining out there that they do is incredible.
They have quite the machining capabilities and grinding, and yeah, they sure do. And X-ray film, oh God, I've looked at, well, when I was making castings, part of the inspection process was X-ray. I always preferred film over digital because I like to be able to see the grains, and tubes over linotrons and that kind of stuff, because they don't have the wide frequency range that an X-ray tube does, and so you don't really pick up the grains as well. And yeah, now everything's digital, and it all just looks like blah.
There'd be a guy out there at GE that supervised all that. His name was Cal Martin. And I know that he probably retired years and years ago, but he was working on a real-time digital to where he could rotate the part in a basically a radiolucent frame, okay? And so that he could do real-time exam on a part. Did they ever get that perfected?
Not like what we call CT these days, computed tomography. So, yeah, you put a part in the machine and it rotates it around, and then real time on the screen you're getting a 3D image of the part, and you know, if there's any, you can see if there's any defects and that kind of stuff in it. Pretty much real time. There is some, you know, depending on what you want to do, there's going to be some computer processing to all the data that it collects in order to display it in its best form. But yeah, we have several CT machines here for X-ray purposes.
Yep. Now see, that's the X-ray units are what I work on, and also on the human side, I do the digital imaging for medical. So I'm very, very familiar with all the algorithms you guys use to manipulate the images and change contrast levels and densities and all that good stuff.
X4ID. Yep, that's exactly, it's very similar to medical. Just the biggest difference is the energy levels.
Dave, you still there, Chad?
Oh, I'm here. Let me make sure I got it. Yeah, I'm actually kind of listening. It's pretty interesting what he does. Kind of trumps what I do, technically anyway. But yeah, I'm just running down to my supplier this morning. Got to get a few things for an install next week. So I'm gonna back out and let you guys carry on. I'm gonna listen out. I got about another 5 minute worth of ride here. I ride off of Rutherford Road here on Wade Hampton. So. Chris, pleasure to make your acquaintance. Don't mind the joking. We do that a lot here, especially when Steve's on. Ha, ha, ha. And we'll catch you later.
Nice to make your acquaintance as well. And I don't mind the joking at all. it's an interesting environment. You know, I get out on the shop floor enough there's a lot of tomfoolery, let's say. Take care. Good to meet you this morning. W4VX.
All right, Chris, have a good morning. W4VX and the group KB2HXS. You got it, Steve. And, Steve, my 706 is back on the way, repaired. They found the issue, took care of it. And I'll talk to you about the 991A another day.
Roger, roger. Well, hey, just before you go, was it the caps or did they say what it was?
He said it was a vary cap in the front end of the radio. It was, you know, it would warm up and give me all kinds of noise, but... the radio is solid. He went through everything, adjusted whatever he had to do to make it right, cleaned up a bunch of connections, and had a really nice conversation on the phone with him. Really intelligent guy. He's the only shop on the East Coast that works on amateur radio stuff. I guess there was a couple other shops around, I think one up in Massachusetts and one out in Texas. And I guess the guys that did the radio work since passed away. And even the manufacturers send stuff to him right from the factory when they can't figure things out. So he's quite good. Guys, I'm gonna step out and listen. KB2HXS, go ahead, take it, Steve.
KB2HXS, KO4NUE.
Yes, sir.
So I have an ICOM 706 Mark 2G, and when it warms up, I get a whole bunch of noise coming over the speaker on the radio, and it eventually, when it gets warm enough, it eventually bleeds over to the transmit side. I've got it boxed up. I'm going to drop it off at the post office this morning. Where did you send yours over?
It's a place down in Gainesville. I have the phone number in my phone that I can't see at the moment. But I can get it to you a little bit later if you wish. It's called Claremont Skyland Radio and TV Repair. It's out of Gainesville, Georgia. If you drop it on UPS, it gets in a day. He's about 2.5 to 3 weeks out. He does not do email. The gentleman's name is Bill, and he's very good. He'll call you. I mean, he's right on the money. He isn't letting any grass grow under his feet. He's very good at what he does, so... I will get you that phone number. Oh my gosh, did I take my phone with me? I think I forgot my phone home. Oh well, I'll get you the number shortly.
Oh, that's okay. I got it. That's I've got it boxed up to Skyland Claremont in Gainesville, Georgia. So it's in the truck. I'm gonna drop it off at the post office this morning. But I just wanted to make sure. You know, I thought maybe that'd be the same place you sent yours. So that's I've got all the information. Appreciate it.
And just so you know, he does prefer UPS. The guy says, I guess it's easier for him to ship it back out.
Of course he does, M4ZLK.
Oh, gosh. There goes the neighborhood. All right, I got to go, guys. I'm at the parking lot. 73, see ya.
Enjoying listening, and I was trying to come up with a description of what I do that sounded that technical, but I can't. But anyway, good morning, Chad. Chris, I haven't met you, but I've heard you. I'm Shane, N4ZLK, and let's see, Steve's in there. Thank you, Chris, N4ZLK.
Nice to make your acquaintance, N4ZLK. Getting a lot of new call signs since I've got the new antenna installed and cleaned up a few issues with the radio in the car. So, well, very good. And, yeah, enjoying meeting all the new folks and having it. Well, I've got a commute because I'm coming in from Union County to Greenville, but as the radio makes it go, it makes it much more pleasurable. So, well, I'm in the parking lot staring at the back end of the building I need to be in. So let me say 73 is all the way around. Great discussion this morning. Hope we can do it again tomorrow. WFL Monday. hopefully I won't be coming back this way tomorrow. I hope. Let's see. Steve, KN4, and I'm drawing a blank on your calls. VWA. And the group. This is W4VX, and I'll be 73s and heading into work.
Chris, as always, I enjoyed it, buddy. It's a real nice ride along, especially the tech talk. I love that stuff. So, you have a good day, and the rest of this bunch, y'all carry on. I'm listening.
L4NUE, enjoy the QSO. Have a good day.
73, and I'm going to jump out. I'm going to run into the store real quick. I'll be back, maybe, if you guys are still here. N4ZLK.
How's your morning that's going? I mean, how? I hadn't had enough coffee. How is your morning going?
It's sore. I picked up a snapper. Ride more, one of the original styles, and the transmission gears are gone on it, and I think I'm going to rebuild it, and I've got another one for parts, so I probably have everything I need, but I was trying to drag it off the back of my trailer there in front of my building, and my feet were in that regrind. And as I was pulling, my feet slipped and went out from under me, and I went down, and I busted my hiney. And I'm telling you what, I am sore from my cheeks up to the middle of my back today. Whew. I've been in bar fights that didn't hurt this bad.
Me too. That's not good to be sore on Friday. That just makes for a long weekend.
That right. So... anyhow, I'm going to be taking it just a little bit easier between now and Monday morning for the great two-wheeler, the unmotorized two-wheeler event.
I'm kind of excited about it, really. I know it's, you know, not going to be, you know, all that, but I'll just be glad to get that patch. That's what I want. I want that patch.
No, they didn't give us a patch. When do we get that?
A patch and a t-shirt. Hang on a minute. You never believe, oh my word, you will never believe what just passed me, man.
I with no motor on a two-wheeler.
Our wiener truck. The Oscar Mayer wiener truck just passed me on Highway 11.
Oh, my. Okay. Well,
I have never seen the Oscar Mayer Wiener truck in person before. I was quite excited to see it, actually.
I'll refrain from comment there, Chad. I'm going to call you on the landline. I'll call you in just a second.
Now, N6CLX, Chad, congratulations. You took the wind out of Steve.
I'm about the only one I know that can do that. I'd like to add, oh boy, he had it all waxed up. It was it was sharp looking. To be a KO4NUE. No, sir, I'm not going to answer the phone. Whatever you need to say, you can say it on the radio.
No, I can't. No. Next time I see you, I'll ask you about it. I've got to check them. I can't talk on radio. I'll carry on a minute.
That's right. Let me make sure I got it. I'm answering that phone. No way. Whatever you need to say, you can say it in a controlled environment.
Probably for the better. That way I can maintain my sweet and innocent status.
CLX, I was just wondering, I want to ask you, Chad, were a bunch of dogs chasing it?
No dogs are chasing it. But, no, no dogs.
No, Chad was chasing it.
Admit, I did look at it.
Like on the TV bloopers where the actors make a mistake and then they get tackled and they can't carry on with their work. We got to change the subject here. Oh, I am looking forward to Monday, though. Oh, goodness gracious. And and what time did he say we needed to be out there? 6:37?
Yeah, 6:30 would probably be ideal, but I'd be probably some downtime. Before they start moving through.
It's going to be at least an hour before they get up there to where I am, ain't it?
I think you're probably going to have a little more excitement than anybody because I think you said that's where they have the most accidents.
Really? Well, I'm prepared. Goodness gracious, I hope not. I'm hoping those guys can come down that hill and make that turn without too much of an issue. I'm certainly going to be standing out there with my little flag going, that way, that way.
Flag now. Just, you got to hold it.
Now, wait a minute. Chad, you mean I can't flick my flag?
No, you can't wave it. You just have to hold it diagonally. Well, anyway, what y'all got planned for the weekend? As I believe it's N6CLX. Go ahead. What you got for the weekend, bud?
Oh, just the normal stuff around the house. Between rainstorms, cut the grass, so on and so forth. I got to get through the work day now, though. Just pulled up to the office. Just want to ask Steve, though. Congratulate Steve. I figured he'd have that guy Chris designing him a mini jet engine and getting ready to get the drawings to have Chad create a jet engine for one of his airplanes.
I'll just tell you what, some of the guys that fly at our flying field for the fly-ins, you know, where we invite the public in, some of those guys actually use kerosene-powered turbine engines. And, man, they are something else. Sheesh! Those things are fast. I mean, really fast. And one or two of the jets that come out with the actual turbines, wingspan is about 8-9 feet. And over overall length about 14 or 15 feet. They, you know, fighter jet configurations. They are something else. But that's so far above my pay grade. Listen, I do well to go home without a pile of foam with my little electric job. Come out one of our fly-ins one day. We have one in September. It's pretty good entertainment for folks that, you know, like that type of thing, you know, in a technical type of environment for the setups and all that. It's really quite entertaining.
That's dangerous. That would just make me want to go spend money and get into it. I did see a video the other day. A guy set up to do a flyby, 200 mile an hour flyby with his RC plane, Delta Wing. And just as he made the turn and started diving, his camera rebooted.
Well, I tell you what, we did have one guy have a flame out at the field last year, and that was $15,000 right straight into the ground. One big kerplunk.
And a KO4 NUE, that had to be a hard pill to swallow. I mean, my goodness, I couldn't imagine that.
I'm going to tell you something, bud. That in itself, right there, watching 15K auger into a little hole in the ground, that was heartbreaking, especially with the hours of setup. And each one of those planes is a custom setup. And to watch something like that with all those hours of work that went into it to get it up there, whoo-wee, that just break my heart.
I couldn't do that. It just, sometimes I deal with some pretty expensive material in the machine shop, and I've been a couple of times over the years where, you know, I've messed up a lot of money just in material, and it doesn't take much, you know. You're not paying attention, and you get things all jacked up, then, you know, it becomes an issue.
Through the loss of materials, but you've got a couple of those engines up there that if you made a mistake on one of those, oh my gosh, you've lost a rare, rare piece.
Yep. And I have made some mistakes over the years. One of them was pretty bad. I was able to recover from it, but it scared me pretty bad, because it was rather rare engine, and I was sweating bullets there for a couple of days.
I'm going to say have a good day, guys. Sitting here staring at the door, better go in. N6CLX, have a good day.
Sir, and jump in there and join us with our frivolity in the mornings from time to time. Just jump in there anytime. We enjoyed having you. 73s, K4VWA, carry on.
And 73, sir, have a good day. Be safe.
First name?
Sure, it's Chris. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure it's Chris.
Well, now, that was the first fellow we were talking to. That's W4VX.
Jeff. I believe it's Jeff. You're right.
Roger. Yeah, that's the first time I've talked to him. Seems like a real nice fellow. Well, so I guess we're prepared for Monday. I got the little sign for the car. Got radios tested, ready to go. Got my little flag. And beyond that, I just don't get on the radio unless I'm letting them know that they have made their first appearance.
That. But I'm kind of looking forward to it, actually. I've never seen the assault on Mount Mitchell. I've never seen that many bikes in one location, so I'm just kind of anxious to see what happens.
Initially, where are
are you?
I have to look at the sheet. I can't remember. I'm gonna be with Robin. But I don't recall, Steve.
Well, I was just gonna say, initially where I am, the front runners are gonna be coming through there in a whisk, and then about halfway through the pack there's gonna be seeing some huffing and puffing a little bit. And then the ones that bring up from about 50% of the pack back, it's going to be ugly. Those guys are going to be sucking wind. And then by the time it starts getting up there to the foot of Mount Mitchell, ooh-wee, that's going to be some exhausted puppies.
It's pretty difficult. I don't care what kind of gear in you got on a bike. That's, still got to be tough. Where are you headed this morning?
Well, I have messed up big time. I'm supposed to be down at 9 o'clock doing an evaluation on some equipment. And I was trying to find some of my other tools. And I walked out and left my evaluation equipment at the shop. So now I got to turn around and go back and get it. So I got to call them and tell them I'll be there at about 11 or 12 instead of at 9.
Sometimes that happens, you know. Take you another Prevagen.
I got to do something. Double up on that stuff. Or, you know, maybe go chase the weenie mobile.
Help it. I need to come back out. Oh, what? I don't know, man. That used to be a big deal, you know, when I was little. The last time I saw the Oscar Mayer weenie truck was, I think it was in Myrtle Beach back in the 80s. And so, yeah, I'm kind of, you know, I was kind of excited to see it up this way. You normally you don't see it out in places like this.
Yeah, well... I tell you what, I've seen it about three or four times since about 1970. I've seen it about three or four times. And you do know there's about a half a dozen of them that run around over the country.
Yeah, I know there's a small fleet of them, but still, it's, you know, kind of neat to see it up this way.
Me? It's like... It's like somebody sticking a cigar in Washington's mouth on Mount Rushmore. Oh, dang, look at there.
Well, Steve, look here, bud. I'm getting close to my destination, so I'm gonna step on out and leave you with it. Have a good day. I hope you get your form straightened out. And it's KO4NUE, and I'll be clear. Have a good day, bud. 73.
Hopefully I'll get over the hump on my stupidity and get some work. Oh, shoot, I used that word again. Hopefully I'll get some things done. And you do the same. Have a good day. You take it easy. 73's KN4 VWA. Clear.